today. But before we get there, I want to ask you, what are some of your New Year's resolutions? What are some of your New Year's resolutions? Do you have a New Year's resolution to work harder in your job? Do you have a New Year's resolution to lose weight, as many of us tend to have as the new year starts? Do you have a New Year's resolution to make new friends, maybe get a new job? What are your New Year's resolutions? I found some comical ones online that I want to share with you this morning that maybe some of us need to adopt, and some of us might know some people who need to adopt these resolutions. But one New Year's resolution I found is someone will make a resolution to order every drink on the Starbucks menu. If you make that resolution, I caution you and your financial budget. I've already told Ashlyn she can't do that resolution, but someone could make a resolution to do that. Someone could also make a resolution, stop drinking your morning coffee after you brush your teeth. Brush your teeth after you drink your coffee? I mean, come on now. Some of you may know some people in here who may be guilty of that one. Maybe you can make a resolution to do that this year. Here's one that I know all of us do, and you can't deny it. All of us do this. Let's make a resolution this year to stop blaming our farts on our dog. Okay? Stop. Let's stop doing that. That poor dog is just lying there, and you just call out their name in disgust, and then they look at you like, what? I'm just sleeping. I didn't do anything. Let's stop doing that. Okay? And this one is one that Ashlyn and I definitely need to adopt. Limit yourself to 2 minutes trying to find a movie to watch. 2 minutes. If you find a good one, you've uncovered a gem. If you find a bad one, Ashlyn will be asleep in no time, and I'll be just playing on video games on my phone or something. It won't matter. But 2 minutes. Too often, we take what seems like hours to try and find a movie to watch, and some of you may be able to relate. But let's make a New Year's resolution to maybe just take 2 minutes. 2 minutes to find a movie. This last one is very important and very true. A lot of us tend to do this. Let's all make a New Year's resolution. Stop Googling your symptoms. Google does not need to tell you that you're about to die of a common cold. Go see your doctor. Stop Googling your symptoms. You don't need that anxiety and stress in your life, okay? So those are some funny New Year's resolutions, and you may have some similar. You may have other resolutions. One of my personal resolutions I'll share with you is I want to resolve to read 30 books this year. I want to resolve to read 30 books this year. At least shoot for that, all right? I'm going to try and get there as best I can, but that's one of my New Year's resolutions. But what if we understood that there is no resolution, either funny or serious, that is more important in this new year than making a resolution to abide in Christ? Now, what I mean by that, abide, what is that word? Abide is the Greek word meno, which means to remain, stay or continue in, to endure in, to be with Christ. So when we say a resolution to abide, we're talking about, would you make a New Year's resolution to remain in Christ, to be with Him daily this year? Losing weight, working harder in your job, making new friends, they're great resolutions, but no resolution you make in this new year will be more important than making a resolution to abide in Christ. And scripture that we're going to look at today shows us three beautiful reasons, three beautiful benefits we should abide in Christ. Because let's be honest, church, we make resolutions that we believe will benefit us. We're not going to make a New Year's resolution that we don't think is going to benefit our lives in the next year. But we see in scripture that we're going to look at today the beautiful, lovely benefits of abiding in Christ. And we're going to see why we should make that a New Year's resolution for us in 2024. So before we get into the scripture and the context of the scripture, let's pray. Father, we are so, so grateful to be here today in a place of worship, gathered together as brothers and sisters, just excited to dig into your word, Jesus. Would you speak today? Would your word show us the beautiful and lovely fruit of abiding in Christ, how it could change our entire 2024 upcoming? We're so excited to be in your word today. Would you speak to us through it? In your name I pray. Amen. And so if you've heard me preach before, you know that I am very much passionate about context. We should not study any passage of Scripture without first taking into account the context. And I believe that the literary context of this passage is very important. The literary context of this passage is this passage is contained within what many scholars call the farewell discourse. Now, what is the farewell discourse? Well, the farewell discourse is the last teachings of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John before his crucifixion. The farewell discourse, many scholars refer to it as, starts in John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and ends at the end of John 16. And so this passage is right in the middle of that, and that shows us how significant this is. This teaching of Jesus was so significant, he made sure it was one of the last things he said to his disciples. So if it's significant for them, why would it not be significant for us to study this morning? So we're going to start in verse 1, but our attention today will be in verses 4 through 11. So if you have your Bibles, read with me. Let's start in verse 1. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What a beautiful passage that we get to study this morning. And one of the first things that we see, why should we abide in Christ? Well, number one that we see is abiding in Christ produces fruit. Abiding in Christ produces fruit. Let's take a look back at our passage, John 15, verses 4 through 6, at the beginning of the passage we're studying. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And so we see quite clearly in Scripture, if we abide in Christ, he it is, she that is, that bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. Well, then that begs the question, well, what is fruit? We're not talking, of course, about apples and oranges and bananas. We're not talking about those things. We're talking about what does the Bible say fruit is? Many of you, when you heard produces much fruit, you probably immediately thought of fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so the Bible tells us, Jesus himself tells us, abide in me. If you do, you will bear much fruit. And so as we abide in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God works in us to bear fruit, to bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. He works in us to do all of those things, but we can't do them without abiding in Christ. Another fruit that the Bible defines as fruit is the praise of God. Hebrews 13:15 tells us, through him, being Jesus Christ, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So as we abide in Christ, as we remain in him, God himself, the Holy Spirit, works in us to produce in us a praise of God. Not just a joy to the world, the Lord, but a praise of God, a worship of God, a heart that is so in love with Jesus, so grateful for what he's done, we want to praise him. And that comes, that attitude, that perspective, that heart of praise comes when we abide in Christ, when we remain in him, when we're with him. Another definition of fruit in the Bible is fruit is God-honoring righteous behavior. We see this in Philippians 1, verse 11. Paul says, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness. And many scholars believe that the fruit of righteousness, many believe, is defined by the behaviors, the way that our behavior, our attitude, our perspectives change through Jesus Christ. That fruit is produced in us. And that fruit is not the God-honoring, the righteous behaviors we do because Pastor Kelly and I told you to do them. That fruit is not the God-honoring behaviors you do because your parents told you to do them, because the church told you to do them. That fruit is God-honoring and righteous behavior because you love Jesus Christ and you want to do them. Not because anyone's told you to, but because you want to do them. That is God-honoring righteous behavior. That is fruit that is produced in us while we abide in Christ. He produces in us a desire, a motivation to do God-honoring and righteous behavior in this world because we love him. The last one that we see here is what is fruit? Fruit is converts to the gospel. Look at Colossians 1, 5 through 6. Paul says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, Jesus Christ, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, and the gospel, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it is also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. You see, the fruit that is produced in us is not just about us. But as we abide in Christ, as we remain in him, as we daily resolve to pursue him, Jesus uses our lives to plant seeds for the gospel in other people's lives. That the gospel may abound, that the gospel may increase, that the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins and mine, may change lives throughout the world. And that can come through us, through the way that the Holy Spirit changes us, molds us, develops in us the fruit of the Spirit, develops in us a genuine praise of God, develops in us a God-honoring and righteous behaviors. That can come through him, and that can impact other people's lives. But Jesus makes it very clear, crystal clear. We cannot produce fruit if we do not abide in Christ. I'm not the one telling you that this morning. Jesus himself is telling you that this morning. We cannot produce fruit if we do not abide in Christ. Look again at our text, John 15, verse 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is Jesus' words. Not my words. This is Jesus' words. He's telling you today, love, joy, peace, patience, a genuine praise of God, God-honoring righteous behavior, you can't do those apart from me. Well, you may say, but I could show people love. I don't need to be with Christ daily to show people love. I don't need to be with Christ daily to have joy. You see, church, that love and that joy that you may practice, that you may do apart from Christ is circumstantial. If we're honest with ourselves, that love that you may show other people is dependent on how they treat you. That joy that you may experience, that joy that you may give is dependent upon the circumstances you're in of that day, but it changes like the wind. That's not the love, that's not the joy, that's not the fruit that God is talking about. He's talking about love that is unconditional and never ends. He's talking about joy that is inexpressible, that never fades away no matter what you're going through. He's talking about a praise for God that is not dependent on how you slept in the morning, but is dependent on how your heart is grateful for what he's done for you. So you may think that you can produce fruit. You may think that you can do things, but Jesus himself is telling you, you cannot produce fruit if you're not with me. I mean, think about it, church. I am not a green thumb, but some of you in here are a green thumb. You could probably plant things and grow them and let them produce fruit. Think about it. How can your plant produce fruit if you throw it on the ground in the cement and leave it for a week? And then bring it back, put it in some soil, water it for that Sunday morning, and then take it out of the pot, throw it on the ground, and walk away. Will your plant ever produce fruit? No. Just as we will never produce genuine fruit for the gospel if the only time we abide in Christ is Sunday morning. If the only time we actually care about Jesus and spend time with him is Sunday morning or Wednesday night. That's just like taking a plant out of its soil and out of its water, throwing it on the ground and expecting it to produce fruit, expecting it to blossom without being connected to the life source it needs to bear fruit. And we need Jesus Christ daily to produce fruit. Again, I'm not telling you this. Jesus is saying you cannot produce fruit without him. And unfortunately, there are some branches that will disconnect to the vine and never abide with the vine, never be with the vine. There are some branches that will come back once a week, plug into the vine and go away. But there are some branches that never will. And we see this in John 15, verse 6 in our passage. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. And this is a common illustration Jesus uses to communicate eternal separation from him. You see, if we're not abiding in Christ, if we're not one with him, daily striving to be with him, our Lord and our Savior, then we grow further and further away from Christ until the time has come when you are asked to give an answer. And many of us will say this, Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You see, some of us think that we can detach from the vine, we can be rooted out of our soil and water and the life that we need to live, go over here, live on our own, do our own thing, and then when the time comes and we have passed from this earth and we stand before God, we say, look, God, I did everything that you asked me to do. And Jesus said, I asked you to abide with me. You were over here and I was over here. And you spent no time with me, but you wanted to tell the world that you did. You wanted to communicate that you're a Christian, that you're doing all these good things, but you never were with me. And so maybe that motivates you this new year to make a resolution to abide. Maybe you know people who are in that place, who think that they can do and live their life apart from Jesus, the vine of beautiful life. Who think that they can live and do what they want and then they'll be fine in the end. But we know, we see. Again, I'm not telling you this. Jesus is saying this in his word. We see that's not the case. We see he asks, would you abide in me? Be with me. And if you don't be with me, you may come to me on the last of days, but I'll tell you I never knew you. Just as a branch disconnected from the vine will say, I never knew you. You were never with me. And so would that motivate you? Would that motivate you to share with someone, to implore someone to come to Jesus, to abide in Christ? We also see in our passage a benefit of bearing fruit. Is bearing fruit by abiding in Christ glorifies God. It brings glory to God. Newsflash, church, you and I were created to glorify God. We were not created so that I could do whatever I wanted, so that I could have the nicest house, the fancy cars, all the money. We were not created for this life's experiences. Everything that we experience in this life, like the beautiful marriage that I have with my wife, our six-month-old daughter, those are side benefits to why I was created. I was created to bring glory to God through the way that everyone sees my heart has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and I have been saved by Jesus Christ. That's why we were created. And we were created in that way. And also people see that by we bearing fruit, by us bearing fruit. Look at John 15:7-8 in our passage today. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bearing fruit glorifies God. When we abide in Christ and the Holy Spirit produces in us love that surpasses all understanding, patience unconditionally, joy that is inexpressible, kindness that is so opposed to this world, how could anyone be so kind? Self-control, that we can control ourselves when we live in a world that is all about more and more and more and more. When we have fruit produced in us that praises God from our hearts, not just from our mind and our attitudes that day. All of that fruit proves to the world that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Your church attendance does not prove to the world that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. It doesn't. It doesn't for me. What proves to the world that I am a disciple of Jesus Christ is the way that I am daily with him and the way that he works in me to produce fruit for the kingdom. And so bearing fruit by abiding in Christ glorifies God. And so ask yourself this year, 2023, the last day of 2023 is not just a time to look forward, but a time to reflect. So reflect on your year. Was this past year characterized by fruit in your life? Was it characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, goodness? Was it characterized by a genuine praise of God? Was it characterized by God-honoring and righteous behaviors, not because I told you to or Pastor Kelly told you to, because you wanted to because you love Jesus? Was it characterized by people seeing your life and being just infected with the goodness of the gospel because of the way that you live because you love Jesus Christ? Was this past year characterized by fruit? And if it wasn't, don't beat yourself up. Because mine wasn't perfectly either. Because I can't do this perfectly. None of us can, which is why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. But if this past year was not characterized by fruit, reflect on your life. Did you spend time abiding in Christ? Not just reading a 2-minute devotional and going on in your day, but abiding with Christ, being with him. Taking time out of your day, no matter what happened, not just to read the word, but let him speak to you, to pray to him, to praise him, to worship him. Was this year characterized by fruit because you abided in Christ? Or was it an anomaly of your year instead of a pattern of your year? So think about that. Another benefit that we see from abiding in Christ, why we should abide in Christ, what does it benefit us for? Abiding in Christ produces loving obedience. Loving obedience. Let's take a look back at our passage that we're in this morning. John 15:9-10. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Be in my love. Remain in my love. Endure in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so as we obey Jesus' commands, we grow more and more in love with him. You see, church, we need to change our perspective. We need to stop thinking about obeying God out of fear. The Bible is clear. We should have reverent fear of God. But why is that the only motivation we use to obey him? Why can't our motivation to follow his commands be because we love him? Because we're grateful for what he's done. Jesus is telling us that as we abide in him, as we remain in him, we abide in his love. And we abide in his love by following and doing what he's asked us to do. Again, John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, that begs the question, what are Jesus's commandments? What does he mean? We need to remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples. From his teaching them over the 3 years of ministry, he is talking to them about what he has told them to do. Many of us think to keep God's commandments, don't drink, don't smoke, don't get a tattoo, don't get piercings, don't do all of these things. Hear me when I say this. I'm not saying that you should do those things. Those things don't help you. Those things don't take care of your body. Sometimes we think about the Ten Commandments. We think, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Again, don't do those things. They don't honor God, they don't honor Christ, and they don't represent who we are as born-again Christians. Don't do those things. That's good. But Jesus' commandments that he is referring to is what he has told his disciples through his ministry. But we tend to forget about those. We think of the big ones. We think of the ones that either the church has created or we think of the Ten Commandments in Exodus. And again, those are good things. But why do we so often forget to do what Jesus has asked the disciples to do, what Jesus has asked us to do during his ministry? So what are some of those things? Well, we see here one of the first ones. Love one another as I have loved you. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's one thing that Jesus asked the disciples to do. That's one thing he asked us to do. What's another thing he asked the disciples to do, a commandment to the disciples? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We see this in Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Another one of his commandments to not just his disciples, but to all of the people through his ministry, repent of your sin. Look, this is an unpopular message for many people. Pastor Kelly and myself, we're not the first people to ask you to repent of your sin. We're not. John the Baptist and Jesus are the first people recorded to ask people, would you repent of your sin? And we see this in Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we view that word and we get so just on guard. We get so scared. All it means is to turn away from what you're doing and turn to Christ. Turn away from what you know is wrong and turn to Christ. That's what Jesus asked the world to do when he was here. That's what he asked his disciples to do, and that's what he asked us to do. Another one of his commands is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And one of the last ones we see is very important for us as a church. It's the root of our mission statement. Jesus asked the disciples, go and make disciples. And he asks us the same. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. These are a few examples of Jesus's commands. So when he says, keep my commandments and you will abide in my love, these are some of the things he's talking about. But these are often the things that we don't think about. I don't think keep my commandments. I'm pretty sure most of us don't immediately think about loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us. Many of us tend not to think when we hear, keep my commandments, we don't think about, go, make disciples. When we hear, keep my commandments, we don't hear, love one another as I have loved you. These are Jesus's commands to us. And he's asking us today, through his word, as he tells the disciples, will you keep my commandments to abide in my love? Because you see, as we abide in Christ, we want to follow his commandments because that's how we display our love for him. As we are with Christ, as we remain with him, as we make a resolution in 2024 to abide in Christ, our perspective of obedience changes. We don't obey because people have told us to. We obey because we want to. Because we desire to, because we want the world to see our love for Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. As we spend time with Christ, that motivation changes. It changes from doing it because other people told us to do it, to doing it because Christ asked us to do it, and we want to honor him. And by keeping his commandments, we display our love for him. So let me ask you, in 2024, do you want to display to the world your love for Christ? Man, that was weak. In 2024, do you want to display to the world your love for Christ? Yes, amen. So let's do what he's asked us to do this next year. Let's make a resolution to be with him, that we might pray for our enemies, that we might love him more than we love anything in the world, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that we might actually go and make disciples and not just say that we will every Sunday when we close the service. Would that be our motivation? Because we want to show the world, I love Jesus Christ. Not because I'm telling you to, Kelly's telling you to, or anybody else, but because you love Jesus Christ and want the world to see that. I mean, look at this in 1 John 5, 2 through 3. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. See, John here specifically says, this is the love of God. This is how you show the love of God, that you keep his commandments. Not so that you won't be saved. I don't want to just misinterpret that for people in here saying, oh, I got to keep his commandments to be saved. No, Jesus Christ has purchased your salvation for free to you. There is nothing you could ever do to earn it, to deserve it. He has given it to you for free. So in response to that, would we love him enough to keep his commandments? And so think back on your year. Was your 2023 characterized by a loving obedience to following God's commands? Not just all the don't do's, but was your 2023 characterized by doing what he has asked you to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Go and make disciples for the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit and teaching them all that I have taught you. Was your 2023 characterized by that? And if it wasn't, what would your 2024 look like if it was? How much more could your 2024 be filled with just so much beauty and love and grace if you made a resolution to abide in Christ and grow in your love for him and follow what he's asked you to do. And so we can resolve to abide in Christ's love by striving to do what he's asked us to do this new year. We can make a resolution that is more important than any other resolution you will make to abide in his love by doing what he's asked us to do. And so the final point that we see in the final verse of our passage in verse 11 is we see a beautiful benefit that we get from abiding in Christ is it gives us joy to the fullest. Let's close our passage in John 15 by reading verse 11. John 15, verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And so joy is fully found in Christ. Many of us, we just celebrated Christmas. We just got gifts. We'd opened up the gifts and maybe a lot of us were filled with joy. The joy from the gifts you got at Christmas will fade. The joy from the people in your life will fade. The joy from certain moments or circumstances or sports games or concerts will fade. That joy is only half full, if even a quarter full. But you see, Jesus tells his disciples, "I have told you these things. I have asked you to abide in me. I have asked you to be with me, to keep my commandments, to abide in my love." Why? That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. 1 Peter 1, 8 through 9 says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him," and him being Jesus. "Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You see, church, when we abide in Christ, when we are with him and he has told us these things and given us his word, we experience joy to the fullest. Jesus has given us the truth of his word to give us joy. Not just the truth of this passage, but the truth of his entire word to give us joy. He has said these things to you, not me. He has said these things to you through his word that you might have joy. Would you receive that today? Would you understand the weight of that today? As we head into a new year, would your 2024 be characterized by this joy? "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." It may be full. Not changing as the wind goes, but your joy would be full. Your year of 2024 would a pattern of joy in your life, not just a moment or two, not just joy when things are good and your joy fades when things are bad. You see, many of us, when things are sorrowful, when things are really hard, we experience no joy at all. And that can be understandable. But Jesus Christ has promised us that if we abide in him, even in the hard times, even in the sorrowful times, we can have joy. Why? Because we have hope. And that hope is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, that has saved you and has saved me. And that joy is just given to us, and we can have that fully. How can we have that fully? Abide in Christ in this year. So again, think back on your year. Was your 2023 characterized by joy? If not, I challenge you to see today, not from me speaking to you, but from the word, God has given you a way that you may experience joy and experience joy to the fullest, and it is through being with Jesus Christ, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day of this new year, to be with him. And that joy will surpass all understanding. That joy will radiate from you, and people will be like, "Whoa, this person is different. They're going through a really hard time right now, but for some reason, they still have like this joy. I don't understand it." that will radiate from you because you are spending time abiding in Christ. And so I have two reflection questions for you. And after I ask these questions, we'll have a video play on the screen of a song. And after that, as that song is playing, I want you to pray about and think about abiding in Christ in this next year. What would that look like? And I'll be down front and we'll have two deacons on the side to pray with you. But I want you to think about these questions during that time. Number one, what would your 2024 look like if you made a resolution today to abide in Christ every day? What would it look like? Here's a question. What would our church look like if all of us in here made a resolution to abide in Christ daily? All those great things that we saw in 2023, what more could God do for His glory, for His praise, for His honor through us if we made a resolution to abide in Christ this year as a church? So what could your 2024 look like if you made a resolution to abide in Christ every day? And truly, the second question, we all know the answer. Is there really any resolution that you can make this year that will improve your life more than spending time daily with Christ? Will losing weight improve your life? Yes. Will getting a new job maybe improve your life? Yeah, maybe. Will finding new friends improve your life? Yeah, for sure. But what resolution can you make this year that is more important, that will be more life-changing, more life-giving, more character-building than resolving to abide with Christ daily this year? All those benefits of any other resolutions, the benefit of my resolution of reading 30 books will benefit my knowledge. It will benefit my time that I spend reading instead of doing other things. But it won't benefit me nearly as much or nearly as impactful as spending time daily with Christ, my Savior and my King. Because it will produce fruit in me that I can't do by myself. It will produce a loving obedience in me that I will want to follow Jesus' commands because I love Him. It will produce in me joy no matter the circumstances. And that is more beneficial than anything you could resolve to do this year. And so, if you have not given your life to Christ, if you don't know what it means to abide in Christ, let me share with you this good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world humbly in a manger, in a pig trough, in a stall, surrounded by animals. The Son of God came to this world, lived a perfect life, helped people, healed people, loved people, taught people, was a great, great, great man. He was wrongly accused. He was arrested. He was tortured. He was crucified gruesomely, and he died. And 3 days later, he defeated death and rose from the grave. Well, why would he do that? He did that for you. He did that for you. Because the Bible tells us that we are all opposed to God. Without our sin, we would be perfect, but we all know we're not. And so because we are separated from God, we needed someone to come on our behalf and bring us back to God, and Jesus Christ did that for you. He paid the penalty of death for you, that you may have eternal life in Him, that no matter what is going on in your life, you have hope because Jesus Christ has defeated death. You have joy because Jesus Christ has defeated death. You have peace because Jesus Christ has defeated death, and He has offered that to you and to me. And this morning, He is offering it to you today. Would you surrender? Would you give up? Give up control of your life and surrender to Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you believe in Him as your Lord and Savior and confess with your mouth that He is the Lord of your life, you will be saved. Would you do that today and experience the amazing life that is to come for you on this earth and eternally with Christ forever. And so as we pray, if you would like to surrender your life to Christ, I'll be down front. We'll have deacons here. We also would love to pray with you after service if you'd like to do it more privately. But would you consider, if you have not given your life to Christ today, would you consider to do this and accept this beautiful free gift to you? And so this song is going to play, and I want you to think about your New Year's resolutions. Think about your 2024. What would your year look like if you chose to abide in Christ daily, made that your resolution? What would your year look like? And ask yourself honestly, as you've been planning out these New Year's resolutions, is there anything really more important that you could do in this new year than spend time with Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. God, would you listen and open our hearts to this song? God, teach us to abide. We depend on you, and we love you.